So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Shane. I am the youth minister. I work with teenagers a lot. So I'm used to normally bouncing and running around and telling each other to get off their backs and, you know, that coat doesn't fit you and don't wear somebody else's shoes. And sometimes it's a circus, but there's a lot of times we come down here and we preach. Every week they have to listen to me preach to them. So occasionally you guys get to listen to me, which is great. So in our scripture today, we are going to be reading Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves. Mine may be a little bit different than yours, sorry. But that's okay. So, those of you guys who may or may not know, this is Lady Sunday. This is the third Sunday in October. So, it's a blessing to be here with you guys. And it's a blessing that it happens to be Lady Sunday. So, this Sunday is set aside to honor and recognize Lady. That's all of you, actually, if you knew that or not. God is not just inside these walls, but inside the world every single day. Lady Sunday reminds us that the church isn't just built on the work of pastors or those with official titles. It's built on the faith and the love and the service of everyday believers who live out the gospel in their homes, workplaces, schools, and within the community. As a youth minister, I get to see the truth in action all the time. I see parents teaching their kids to pray, teens inviting friends to come to youth group, hang out with some crazy bald guy, volunteers giving up their evenings to mentor, and members showing the love of Christ through simple acts of kindness. That's the heartbeat of Lady Sunday. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things because they said yes to God's call in their lives. So today isn't just a celebration, it's a reminder. A reminder that ministry doesn't belong to one person or to one position. It belongs to all of us, whether you're a student, a parent, a retiree, or someone still figuring out kind of where you still fit in. God has a purpose for you in this kingdom. And before I go any farther, I want to take a moment just to recognize the lay members of the church. Though I may not call each of you out by your name, please know that your ministry is seen, it is heard, and it is deeply appreciated. The love you pour into this congregation, into the community, is what keeps the light of Christ shining bright among us. That scripture hits home for me. It's because it's a reminder that every one of us has a calling. Some of us are called to preach, some of us are called to teach, some to serve, some to encourage, but all of us are called to do something. Now, don't get me wrong, we need our pastors. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that by any means I'm belittling the title or the work or the person who leads us toward the Word of God in a solid direction of faithful ministry. That role's vital. In fact, it's biblical. But even the pastor can only do so much, and the ministry was never meant to be a one-person show. It's meant to be shared, the effort among the bodies of believers, and I know for a fact that Reverend Brian loves to see ministry and worship play out, not just from the pulpit, but from the community and within these church walls. He loves seeing the Spirit move through the people and see God step into their callings and take part into the work of the kingdom together. So the passage of Ephesians reminds us that the church of Jesus Christ was never designed to be a one-person operation. And Paul makes it clear. The role of pastors and teachers is to equip God's people for works of service. The church isn't an audience. It's not an audience. A few people, you know, going to do the work. It's a movement of believers and living out the love of Christ in their everyday lives. And that's the same fire that burned in John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement. He looked around the Church of England in his day and realized that people were waiting for the clergy to do all the ministry work. And he said, no, this world is my parish. He believed that the gospel was too big to stay within the church walls, too powerful to be confined to pulpits. So he went out into the fields, the factories, the streets, preaching Christ to the common people. And more importantly, he equipped them. He raised up the lady to lead small groups, teach, pray, serve, and love. He once said, "Give me 100 people who love nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I will shake the gates of hell and bring the kingdom of heaven." Wesley knew that the strength of the church wasn't within its buildings. It was within its people, the ordinary people who lived out their faith every single day. That's what Paul's describing here in Ephesians. When Christ gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists, he didn't do it to create a hierarchy. He did it to build an army of believers and equip them with love to serve and to grow. The word Paul uses for equip means to mend or to prepare. It's the same word used for fishermen repairing their nets before they cast them again. And that's what leaders do. They help repair, restore, and prepare for God's people to go back into the world and cast a super wide net. Every one of us is part of that net. Every one of us is a worker in the field of God. When we understand this calling, the church becomes alive. Paul says this happens so that the body of Christ can be built up until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unity doesn't mean we all look the same or we think the same. It means that we all move in the same direction towards Christ. Each of us brings a different gift, a different story, a different strength. Think of it like we're all different pages in the same book. And when we offer those gifts of God, we build something beautiful together. Wesley would call the faith working by love, or faith isn't real until it shows up in our actions. It's not just what we believe, it's how we live. And that brings us to worship. Worship is more than songs and prayers. Worship is what happens when we turn every part of our life into an offering. Romans 12:1 says, "Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." That means that the way we work, the way we treat people, the way we serve our community, all of it can be worship, a form of worship. Worship happens when we love someone who doesn't love us back. When we feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, mentor a child, give time to someone who needs it, that's worship in action. Wesley said there's no holiness but social holiness. What he meant, that holiness doesn't happen in isolation, because it doesn't. It's lived out in the community. It's our faith. It doesn't touch the lives of others. It hasn't touched us deeply enough. I repeat that. If our faith hasn't touched the lives of others, then we're not doing it deeply enough. That's why we're not just called to attend worship. We're called to be worship, to be living testimonies in our neighborhoods, workplaces, and within our families. And here's where we have to take it one more step further. As laity, the people of God, we're called not only to serve, but to invest into our community. Because it's one thing to love your neighbor, and it's another thing to build something lasting that blesses them. Investing in the community means pouring into the next generation, mentoring youth. If you want to come upstairs, come on up. I'll definitely take you. But it means giving up your time. It means giving up our energy, our creativity, and our compassion into the places that we live. Not because it's easy, but because it's holy. Wesley didn't preach salvation. He built schools, organized food for the poor, created medical clinics, and fought for fair wages and prison reform. He believed that the gospel should transform souls and society. To be a Methodist is to be a builder. It's to invest in the community, into the kingdom, into the church. When we equip the lady, we don't just strengthen the church, we strengthen the entire community. When we build up one another, the ripple effects move beyond these walls. The love of Christ spreads when we meet real needs, when we become visible examples of hope, when we show people that faith is not just a word, but it's a way of life. That's what Ephesians 4 is really all about. A church growing into maturity, standing firm against the waves of the world, and building something lasting together. Because when ladies serve, when they worship through action, they invest in places they live. And when the church truly becomes, and within the church truly becomes, the church of Christ. So I'm going to ask you guys questions, just like I do to my students. You don't have to answer these, but I want you to sit with them. Where is God calling you to invest? Who around you needs your time, your kindness, your encouragement? What part of your community could be changed if the people of God just simply showed up with open hands and willing hearts? Maybe it's a local school that needs mentors. Maybe it's a single mother who needs help. Maybe it's a teenager who just needs someone to listen. Maybe it's a community project, a food pantry, or a youth center that needs volunteers. Whatever it is, when we invest in others, we build the kingdom of God right here, right now. Wesley said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can." That's not just a nice quote. That's a way of life. That's how we live into this scripture. Because the pastor may light the match, but it's the laity. It's all of us who carry the flame. And when the flame of faith spreads through the service and investment in the community, revival follows. So let us be the people who don't just go to church. Let us be the church. Let us be equipped. Let's be unified. Let's be mature in our faith. Let's worship with our hands and our hearts, and let's invest in places God has planted us in. Because when the holy, or when the laity live out their calling, and we love God and love our neighbor through action, the body of Christ is built up, and the world really begins to see a glimpse of heaven on earth. So I'm going to pray for us. Gracious and loving God, thank you for calling us to serve. Thank you for the leaders who equipped us. Thank you for the laity who carry your mission into the world. Help us see our worship more than words. Help us live it through service, through love, through investment in our communities. Give us the courage that John Wesley, the heart of Christ in the hands of the builded kingdom, right where we are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.